Nā rākoutou katoa e te iwi e hakarongo mai nei ki tō tātou reo irirangi o te hiku o te ika i rungo i tō tātou hōtaka o taumatahanga mā māwatahi ko Daphne Pōpata ko Joel Bristow ngā kaipā pāho mō te ahiahi nei.
Ai rai tātou, mā no reira ka irunga i te toko waia kōrero i tēnei wā ko te kaiwhakahaere o te kura o Ōturu o tira koia tētahi e tito i waihanga i etahi puka puka mō ngā tai tamariki. Nō reira me tāhuri ake tātou ki te kōrero ki aia ko Fraser Smith tērā. Nō reira tēnā koe, Fraser, how are you today?
Oh, kia ora. I'm looking outside at the wind and the rain. I'm pleased to be in.
us too. We're lucky for the walls that we have here. Kei te heke mai ngā roi mata. Engari, just for our kaupapa kōrero, you're about to launch your second junior novel, Awatea in the Kawa Gang, which is a sequel to Awatea's Treasure. So I think for our listeners that don't understand what's going on here, can you give a little bit of a background story into why you wrote this story for our tamariki, huri noa i Aotearoa?
Okay, so for probably 40 years, I've been teaching kids and telling stories to kids, and 3 or 4 years ago I started writing them down, but the kids kept correcting me and they brought the stories back to their real purpose. Huia Publishers picked up Awatea's Treasure, and after a bit of work it got published, and it got it was a finalist in the New Zealand Book Awards, and
awesome.
It got a notable New Zealand book. So that was quite heartening. The reason I wrote it was because I wanted stories, especially for our Māori boys, that suited them and also suited an old style of storytelling, like campfires, sitting by the campfire and telling stories is how I used to do it on school camps, you know. And you know, you've got a guitar in your hand and a story in your head, and everyone's sitting around by the fire, and it's a perfect time, and that really worked. So the stories grew and grew, and I got a second book out of them.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, definitely, like, realigning your purpose with why you really wanted to write these stories in the first place, definitely, I believe, is the strength that gets you to write a sequel to something like this. And not only playing outside, but has the Far North been an inspiration also for these stories?
Oh, the kids co-wrote the stories. there's a parrot. The story was getting a bit quiet for the kids. I'm at Ōturi School. I was reading the stories to our kids, and I just thought, oh, there's something missing here. I've got to make them sit up and laugh.
Mm.
So I wrote a parrot into the book. And, you know, the kids named the parrot. Like, I never would have named a parrot Carrot. But the kids thought it was hilarious, so Carrot stuck. The kids helped me write a song, which I sing with them occasionally just to freak them out a bit. It's all it's a scary song that goes with the story and gets you in the mood, you know. Yeah, so they're definitely co-written because the kids are my best editors.
Definitely, you know, you sound like a seasoned storyteller there, Fraser. And what better way to write a story for children than getting the children involved? So coming into your second book, Awatea and the Kawa Gang, what does this story look at? And were the tamariki there at Ōturu School involved in writing the sequel to Awatea's Treasure?
They've been involved in listening to the sequel. Awatea's Treasure took probably over 10 years to get together, Awatea and the Kawa Gang. I pretty well wrote it in a school holiday because the ideas were in my head. But I read it to the kids and see what works and what doesn't. That's their part of it. What I'm trying to add there, you know, like, there's all sorts of things. I've just written this article for Sapling Magazine, which is an online children's literature magazine, but they're highlighting statements like, as a teacher, I had a continual source of children to throw stories out to. I used all my skills as a performer, all my voices, music, and trickery. So what I'm doing there is, our kids aren't necessarily the best listeners and not the best at keeping still either, so you really got to draw them in and use all the tricks you can. There's other aspects in the Māori world that I bring in, especially with the outdoors, because I'm writing about times before phones, I mean laptops and all the blooming devices we got these days. When, you know, I was living as a 9-year-old, I was living with my grandmother, who was an old Māori who lived in the old ways, and often I'd be outside playing all day and come home when I'm hungry, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of buzz.
Absolutely. Even you know, just in the 80s when we were told the same, you know, our toys were get outside. You know, they weren't, we didn't have any screens. We didn't have any flash toys that we got from McDonald's in our Happy Meal because we didn't even have that. But, you know, so you've mentioned some of the benefits of getting the kids involved in the story. You know, like, you know, they are quite difficult to maintain attention with. So besides getting them involved in writing the story, what are some of the other real benefits that you have seen come out of writing these books about Awatea?
What I'm seeing, I went on a Storylines book tour, which was quite cool. I visited, spent a week dropping into schools and reading to schools all over Northland. I was at the Auckland Writers' Festival. They marched me into a room, and there was 450 people sitting there, and big movie screens on both sides of me, and 45 minutes for me to deliver my message to all of these ardent admirers, which was, it was a bit of a knock, but yeah, I did that, and the next day I did it, and the next day I did it again, and I got better and better at it. So the idea of storytelling to huge groups of people is a new concept to me, for sure.
Yeah, so you gained a lot of self-confidence out of that yourself. So not only the kids have gained a lot, but even yourself, you know, being able to stand up in front of a whole lot of people and not simply writing the story, but delivering it in the way that you intended the story to be received. So that sounds amazing there, Fraser. And thank you again for joining us this afternoon. Absolutely right. I'm so glad that we're inside. Come across the typo bridge this morning and seeing everybody working out and tying things down so it's not getting blown over. And I was just like, thank Lord we're going to an inside job. So again.
So just one more thing is I wrote it, you know, there's not enough good read alouds. So grandma can read it to the kids, or, you know, anyone can read it to anyone, and it's a lot of fun to read aloud. That's the main reason I wrote it.
Ai, tēnā koe, Fraser. Okay. You know, we look forward to hearing more of these stories coming out, you know, because they might be books to us, but they're like little fairy tales to our tamariki because they didn't really get to live the life that we got to. But thank you once again for coming on our show this afternoon. Hope you have a good day up there at Ōturu.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hei kona, kia pai tōra. Ka tiakira e tātou mā koea ko te reo kōrero o Fraser Smith, koea te tumuaki o te kura o Ōturu. I waihanga i tito i ētahi puka puka e aratakina i te ao o te tamaiti. Nō reira, hei whitikina i taua wāhanga kōrero. Kua tīpako hia i tētahi waheata hei whakatairanga i ngā mahi o te rangatahi, te mahi nanakia o te hunga nepa me kīra. Nō reira, e tātou mā kawakoutou e haere tawhiti atu. I tēnei haura, ka pōhiri mai maua ko Joel i tō tātou manuhiri tua whā. Mō tēnei rā, ko moana aroha hēnare tērā.
Ai, rungi tō tātou reo. Rangatira o tātou, no reira, kaue wareware, ki te noho pūmau tai atu ki te mutunga o tō tātou, ho taka nā te mea e hihi ana māwatai ki te kōrero ki tō tātou kaihaka haere matua hoki, i runga i ngā kaupapa huri haere i wainga nui a rātou, e pāna ki te ao pāpāho, me ngā kaupapa huri haere te motu a ko Peter Lucas, tērā.
Ai rā, tātou mā, no reira, kua tai te wā, kia haka iri ake i tēnei ki te kōrero, nei a ihi. Ka ihi te moana, mai ia Rob Ruha. Mau tonu mai.